Well, I just want to thank all who are part of the worship team for their leading, for doing songs again that I understand you just did a couple of weeks ago that I requested, and they're kind enough to do it. So I hope, you know, don't take it out on them. Take it out on me. But can I just say they did a wonderful job, but can I also say I just enjoyed just standing and listening to you folks sing. There's nothing like being in a place and being able to worship God together with other of God's people. We don't understand, I think, that in some places of the world, this is a great privilege to have this many people in a room and to worship. And we get the privilege of doing this week after week after week. And sometimes I think we either take advantage of it, or we get bored with it, or we don't really engage in it. And I just appreciated your engagement this morning in worshiping. I just wanted to stand. I wanted to sing. I couldn't. I just wanted to listen. And so thank you for not only the worship team, but for you and your involvement in worship this morning. This is amazing grace. That he would love us, that he would die for us, that he would reach down. And even the offertory, one of my favorites. How marvelous, how wonderful. And my song will ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And that's why we're here this morning, to exalt him. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this privilege of being here. And now as we look into your word and we try to look and see how we can be encouraged and challenged from your word this morning, may we do it with open hearts and open minds. I pray that the words that I speak, that they would be guided by your Spirit, and that you would use me as your servant here this morning, and that altogether we would recognize how great you are, how awesome is your grace for us and your love for us. And may we live different lives in light of our being here this morning. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk about the topic of graceful. And just to kind of, this is not really to set the mood, really. It's the worship was one thing. This is totally going to go in another direction. But I don't know. There are just some people that are graceful and there are others that are not. And so I'd like to show you this of just some people that are not real graceful. We just had a wedding in our family, and I'm thankful that none of that happened. Those are all ungraceful moments. Those are things that we hope that never would happen to us if we were in public. We want to be so perceived in such a great way that we don't want anything crazy or silly like that to happen to us. But those things actually happen. And there's, you can go on YouTube and you can watch every year they have like the best wedding fails of the year, and there's hundreds of them that people have videotaped and they put up there. But really it's the idea of being graceful, and that's not the graceful we want to talk about. Because basically some of us are just klutzes. We can't do anything about it. Just by nature, we are going to trip and fall. We're going to fall upstairs. We're going to fall downstairs. All those things are going to happen. But what I want to talk about is just the idea of just graceful lives as followers of Christ. Grace is defined as elegance or beauty of form, manner or motion or action, a pleasing or attractive quality or endowment. That's what we didn't see there. That's sometimes what we think of with grace. But what I want to focus on are the third and fourth definitions there. Favor or goodwill, mercy, pardon, and clemency. That's really what the Bible talks about when it talks about grace. It talks about favor and goodwill. It talks about pardon and mercy. We've sung about that this morning. And really, as we think about the world in which we live in, there's really two different ways of how we view life. The first way we view life is a merit-based life. And then there's a graceful life. Merit is that idea of we get what we deserve. If you do good things, you get a positive, good return. If you do bad things, consequences happen, bad things happen to you. It's that in other religious circles, it's the idea of karma. That's the idea. But it's a merit-based, and sometimes we think that even if we don't believe in that form of religion, we just think we are going to, by merit, we're going to get somewhere. That's how many people think they're going to get to heaven. They're going to get what they deserve. They've been a good person. They've lived a good life. They've been kind to people. And based on that good work, they deserve heaven. And that's how they're going to get there. And also we do that with, in the negative side, not with salvation, but we do that with just life in general. We say, well, so-and-so did this, and this was awful. So the bad things that are happening to them, well, they deserve it. This is an actual deserving punishment for them, or deserving consequence for them. And some of us live our whole lives that way. Some of us, even as Christians, live that way. We're still trying to, even though we've been saved and we've accepted the grace of God and the forgiveness of God and the love of God has been shown to us, we still are trying to live a merit-based life. We view it as a checklist of things. If I am in church regularly, if I read my Bible, I can check the list off, and because I do these things, well, I deserve good things to happen to me. That's a very legalistic lifestyle that I've been keeping all the rules, that somehow that's extra favor with God and we're more deserving of what might come our way in life. But can I tell you that that's really not how as Christians we do. Ephesians 2:8, we're going to peek at that in a minute, but Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us that it's by grace we're saved through faith, not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works so that no one can boast. And so we're not saved by our works, but we're saved by grace through faith, and yet works are a natural outflow that come out of a life that's been transformed by the grace of God. And so these works and these things that we do are not to somehow prove our worthiness to God, but we just do it because we love God so much and we're so in awe of Him that we serve Him. So merit is this idea of getting what you deserve. But yet really I want to challenge you that today we need to be a graceful people. People that recognize that we are getting what we don't deserve and not getting what we do deserve. That's what grace is. Because my Bible, as I read it, and my Bible is like your Bible, you're not going to find something different. If it says the Bible on the cover, you're going to read the same thing, is that we're all sinful people. Because of Adam, the first man, and his sin. It's been passed down to all of us, and we are all sinners, and what we deserve is separation from God, eternal punishment. There's nothing good that we can do to earn favor with him, but yet God, in his grace, he gives us something we do not deserve, and that's a restored relationship with him through Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross. And we don't get what we do deserve, which is that eternal punishment. Grace is an amazing thing. We've sung about it. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That I would be able to have this relationship with God through him. And really what we need to be reminded of ourselves is that everyone desperately needs grace, but grace is not really about us. Grace is fundamentally about God. Grace is God demonstrating his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he sent Christ to die for us. Grace is about him. It's his work. It's his plan. It's all about him. And if it was as it should be, we would, by merit, we would get what we deserve. But yet God says, I love you too much to give you what you deserve. And so I want to come and I want to rescue you and I want to restore you into relationship. And yeah, you should be punished. But instead of punishing you, as in the church I'm doing an interim pastor at, last week we had communion, we focused on the fact that in that moment on the cross, all of our sin, your sin, my sin, was placed on Christ on the cross. And the Father, because he can't see sin and look at sin and be close to sin, he had to turn his back on his own Son in those moments when our sin was laid upon him. And Christ was completely alone, bearing what he didn't deserve. It was our punishment that we deserved. And so a life of grace is not getting what we deserve. And again, not getting what we do deserve. It's about God and his work and what he is doing in our lives. J. Gresham Machen has said this, the very center and core of the whole Bible is the doctrine of the grace of God. John Stott said, grace is love that cares and stoops and rescues. Jerry Bridges has said, grace is God making down, is God reaching downward to people who are in rebellion against him. It's all about God. He's the one initiating the action. He's the one who's reaching out to us. He's the one who's rescuing us. He's doing this work. And we're just receiving this. As I referred to Ephesians 2:8, that it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Nothing we can do. A gift from God. Titus chapter 2, it's the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Salvation by God. God making it appear so that we would be able to be saved. And then if you would turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, we'll kind of land on this passage here. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, where the Apostle Paul, in his writing, he pens these words. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. And he says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and in insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. I love that section of scripture. Two different cases you see the grace of God mentioned there, and we just want to kind of look at those this morning. The first is there in verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. The NIV reads this way, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Freely given us, that free gift that Paul talks about to the Ephesians. To the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us, which he has freely given to us. Can I just remind you that first thought here is that grace is never earned. Grace is unmerited and undeserved. Never, never, never can you or I earn the grace of God. Never, never, ever. Chuck Swindoll in his book, The Grace Awakening, said this, to show grace is to extend favor or kindness to one who doesn't deserve it and can never earn it. Receiving God's acceptance by grace always stands in sharp contrast to earning it on the basis of works. And then he highlights this, every time the thought of grace appears, there's the idea of it being undeserved. In no way is the recipient getting what he or she deserves. Favor is being extended simply out of the goodness of the heart of the giver. Grace is never earned. Someone else has said that grace is unmerited favor from an unobligated giver. I like that. God is under no obligation to offer us grace and forgiveness. No obligation at all. We can look at all of us and say, none of them are worth it. I'm not worth it. Sadly to say, you're not worth it. But yet God, he extends grace to us and he says to us, it can never be earned. It can be never be earned. So consequently, what are some things from that thought? Those, if grace is never unearned, those of us who want to experience grace, we must acknowledge that we are undeserving. That's where it starts. That's where you and I start today. We need to recognize that we're undeserving. We don't deserve this at all. Grace is a free gift. We can't earn it. We're not owed it. Man, don't we live in a culture that thinks that we're owed everything? It's unearned, and we have to understand that we're undeserving. My youngest is now a senior in high school. And so now this is my third round of having a senior in high school. And I don't know if your kids, when they got to being a senior in high school, or if you had this when you were a senior in high school, you get that thing called senioritis. And then there's another thing that goes with it. It's the idea of senior privilege. And both of our younger two, Ben did and Allie will graduate from Maine Endwell. And they have this, a little bit of a privilege that seniors can kind of come and go. If they have a couple free periods, they can go out and get lunch. They can go do this and that. And so we tried to do that with Ben during his senior year. We would choose usually a Friday and my wife or I would pick him up and take him somewhere for lunch. That was our senior privilege for him, and he didn't really expect it. He got to like it. You know, as the year went along, he was like, hey, where are we going for lunch today? So now Allie's in her senior year, and so she'll just call out of the blue the other day. Hey, Mom, Dad, can you come get me? I would like a piece of Nerchi's pizza. Can you take me to Nerchi's pizza? And we're like, okay, we're like right in the middle of, you know, cleaning, and we like to rearrange furniture in our house. I don't know if you do, but we do all the time. Our house never looks the same at any point of the year. It all gets moved around. So we're in the middle of doing that, and, you know, my wife is texting her back saying, okay, Allie, we're kind of in the middle of something. And her response is, yeah, but I have a free period right now, so can you come and get me and take me to Nerchi so I can get a piece of pizza? And kept going and going and going. She didn't really understand the fact that she wasn't deserving of that. You know, we were kind of in the middle of something, and we're not supposed to drop everything just because she's the senior and, you know, wants to go get pizza. But that's the case. We live in a culture that is like that. Think they deserve everything, need to get everything their own way when they want it. And for those of us who are really looking to honor God and please God in our lives, we need to recognize that if we really want to experience grace, we need to understand that we are undeserving. There's nothing good in us at all. And then for those of us who have experienced grace, we must acknowledge it. How did I get ahead of myself? Oh, I didn't. I'm just looking at the wrong line. Those of us who have experienced grace, we must acknowledge that there are others who are also undeserving. We don't do well with either one of these things, do we? We think we deserve everything. And then sometimes when we look at other people around us and they do things that we don't think too highly of, we don't think they're undeserving either. You know, we just have a tainted view of other people and we think, yeah, I should be kind to them, but they don't deserve it. Well, the truth of the matter, that's right, they don't deserve it. Just like we're undeserving, they're undeserving. And so grace, when we experience grace, because we're undeserving, when we recognize that there are others who are undeserving as well, as we have received grace, we need to extend grace to them as well. Because we're all undeserving. And that's the third thought. Now I'm clicking all over myself. There are others who are also undeserving. We need to recognize that. None of us are perfect. None of us have it all together. None of us have arrived at perfection. We think we may have, but we're not. The little joke in our house is that we talk about who's right and who's wrong, and the statement is made, and it's not by me. It's not that I am always right. It just happens to be that I am always right. Okay, we're not perfect people no matter what we think. And so we need to understand that this grace is never earned. It's unmerited. It's undeserved. And we're undeserving, and everyone sitting in this room is undeserving. And we need to view people with that understanding that we're all undeserving of grace. And then the second thought in Ephesians 1:7-9, is this thought that the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us, the riches of his grace that he has lavished on us. I love that. I like the word lavish. My wife would love it if I would lavish her with gifts. My wife loves to lavish other people with gifts. Drives me crazy. Because I'm like, really, how can you just spend that much money and give that many gifts? She just wants to lavish. She wants to show people she is concerned about them, interested in what they're going through, and she loves to give gifts. She loves to receive gifts. Christmas is her favorite time of the year because it's gifts, but it's all about Jesus. And again, the gift that he gave to us. And she just loves that season of year. And lavish is a great, great word in my wife's vocabulary. And trust me, I like it when my wife lavishes gifts on me. When I come home and there is a jar of freshly baked chocolate chip cookies, my wife is lavishing me with what I love best. Love lavish. And when we talk about grace, the riches of his grace, this greatness of his grace, he just lavishes it on us. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. It's unmerited, undeserved, but he lavishes his grace on us. And so while we sing about this great love and we sing, your grace is enough, the reality is grace is never just enough. Grace is always far more than enough. Get that? It's never just enough. Grace is always far more than enough. God in his greatness, in his riches, he has lavished his grace upon us. It's more than enough. There's no shortage to it. He has lavished it on us. So those of us who want to experience grace, we have to acknowledge, first of all, that there's abundance. There's an abundance of grace. And some of us have troubles with this because of our past and the sin that we have in our life. We don't think that God can forgive that sin. So we carry that burden with us and that weight. And it prevents us from doing and being all that God would have us to be because we continually bring up this sin that we have. Again, we have been forgiven by God, but we just think, I don't know if God can really forgive that. And so we continue to deal with it and carry it and carry it. Can I tell you that the grace of God is abundant? There is nothing that you or I can do that God's grace cannot cover and cannot forgive and cannot make right. God's grace is abundant. Abundant. Sometimes even as we recognize that we're not perfect people and we're undeserving, even when we come to know Christ, and we recognize that as we go through our life as followers of Jesus, when we make our mistakes and we sin and we mess up and we don't honor God, sometimes we think, well, God, because of this sin or because of that sin, what I've done, you don't love me like you did before. And can I tell you, the grace of God is not just enough, it's more than enough. There's nothing that you can do as a follower of Christ that's going to make him love you less. He will continue to lavish his love and his grace on you, and he loves you, he loves you, he loves you, and his grace is abundant. It's abundant. And we need to be reminded of that. Those of us who have experienced grace must acknowledge that abundant grace with our gratefulness. That's why as we're sitting and singing songs, I'm reflecting about my life, and while I've been blessed in so many ways, I still recognize that I am a sinful person who needed a Savior. And this grace that God has abundantly lavished on me, I'm so incredibly grateful for Him and what he's done for me. Are you grateful this morning? Do you have a song of praise in your heart that when you come, you just can't wait to sing because you're so grateful for what God has done for you? When you recognize where you are in your life at this point in time and you look back over your life and your heart is just filled with gratefulness because you see God's hand through your life and you just can't help but sing. I've said it. I really thought I loved my wife when I married her. I'm saying I did love her, but the fact is, now 24 years later, I'm so grateful for her and the love that we enjoy and the life that we enjoy. It's not always been easy, but yet I'm so grateful for her because as I look back, I see what we've experienced together and how God has walked with us, and I am grateful for her and I am grateful for God and what he has done. When we understand that grace is never just enough, when there's an abundance of grace, it should cause this huge swell of gratefulness to come up within us, and it should be that thing where we just can't stop talking about it, about what God has done, his abundant grace. And then thirdly, those of us who have experienced grace, we must acknowledge it by extending abundant grace to others who are undeserving. I'll admit this is the hard one. We recognize that grace is more than enough, and we're grateful for the abundant grace that's been poured out on us. How can we somehow be stingy and not pour that grace out on other people who are also undeserving? How can we not extend that grace and not grant them forgiveness? And they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. We know that. But the flip side is, I didn't deserve it either. And yet God has showered this abundant grace on me. The truth of the matter is when you mess up, don't you want people to extend grace to you? Don't you? Yeah. We want it. In our life, married life, when I've made a mistake, and my wife will say that I'm not a good apologizer, because I'm not, but when I have finally stepped up and apologized, I want her to extend forgiveness to me. I want her to do that. When I say I'm wrong and I messed up, I'm looking for that. But yet, if in return, when I'm expecting that from her, and yet if she messes up, which is rare, because she's happens to be right almost all the time. But when she messes up, how can I say, yeah, I'm not going to forgive you for that? We need to acknowledge this abundant grace by extending it to others. Recognizing we're all fallen people, all sinful, all in need of rescue, of restoration. And again, I understand with sin there's consequences, and there are things that sometimes we can't, by extending grace, it's not going to fix everything, but still we can work to extend grace and mercy to those who don't deserve it. Because grace is not just enough, it is far more than enough. And if you've received all that, you certainly have it within you to be able to pass on that grace. Because remember, everyone desperately needs it. But grace is ultimately about God. We're ultimately looking to give as God has given to us. God is the giver of grace. We need to give it to others. Our lives ought to be graceful lives, full of grace, full of grace, full of grace. When describing Jesus in the first chapter of the book of John, it says that Jesus came and he was, you know, God in the flesh. He made our dwelling among us, and he was what? He was full of what? Grace and truth. He was the full embodiment of grace. He was the full embodiment of truth. And so he understood everything perfectly, and he responded perfectly in every situation. And our call as children of God, as followers of Jesus Christ, is to live lives that are full of grace and full of truth as well. It's not one or the other. Some of us would like to do that. Some of us would just like to be full of truth. And we like to call everybody out, and we like to point the finger, well, I know because, you know, I've read my Bible, and I've got it all figured out. So I'm going to tell you the truth. And we're mean when we do it. And then some of us are full of grace. We're extending kindness. Oh, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. And we never, ever confront the truth in the situation. We have that in a situation with some friends of ours and the situation that's going on. It just appears that grace and love and everything are all happy, but nobody's talking about the real issue that is sin that took place. And nobody's addressing it and saying, okay, do you understand that what you did was wrong? And while it's great that they're being forgiving and encouraging and all that on this side, there's no truth in that as well. And so, no, that's not right. It's being full of grace and full of truth. We communicate the truth of God, and we do it in a graceful way. As followers of Christ, that's what we're called to be. We're called to be graceful people. Grace is most needed, and it's best understood in the midst of sin, suffering, and brokenness. We live in a world of earning, deserving, and merit, and these result in judgment. That's why everyone wants and needs grace. Judgment kills. Only grace makes alive. If we're living a life that's full of truth with no grace, we're acting in judgment and we're killing things. Killing, killing, killing. Grace brings life. Think about it. In your life, apart from Christ, the truth is, there's judgment, there's death, there's punishment. And what is that? That's right, as the Bible talks about, eternal death, eternal separation from God because of our sin. And yet God steps in and he says, yeah, that's true. But I want to extend you abundant grace. And that abundant grace makes us alive. Life everlasting. Eternity in heaven with God. Instead of a relationship with God that has been destroyed, it's a relationship with God that is restored. And we are alive. New creations in Christ. The old is past, the new has come. And so in this state of grace, confronted with the truth and confronted with grace, we are to be graceful people. Can I encourage you that as you go through your life from this day forward, that you would strive to be a graceful person? I'm not talking about how you walk or how you, don't trip over things anymore. I'm talking about, would you in your life be graceful? Would you? Not just to believers, which you would think that would be the easiest thing, but sometimes that's the hardest thing, place to be graceful is with God's people. But could we be graceful even with those who don't know Christ? Could we show them this amazing grace, this is amazing love, this abundant grace? Could we show them that by, yes, showing them the truth, but doing it in a graceful way, by having conversation, not arguments? By showing them the truth of God's word and allowing the Spirit of God to work in their life because again, we don't save people. God saves people. We're called to speak. We're called to show abundant grace to people that we come in contact with. But as we do this in a graceful way, the Spirit of God will draw men and women to himself. Heard it said that sometimes the church is known more for what they're against than what they're for. Because we have been truth tellers with no grace. And I would like to be someone who is speaking about the things that I'm for. I'm for Jesus. I'm for salvation through Christ alone, by faith alone. I'm for his word and knowing it and reading it and living it out as best as I can. Yes, are there things that I'm against? Yes, but I am so for Jesus that I want to talk about that. I'm for the local church. There's no other place where we can extend grace and show grace more beautifully than in a local church body. I love the passage in 1 Corinthians where it's, again, talking about all the confusion and different things, but it talks about the fact that when unbelievers come into an assembly, wouldn't they just be in awe as they see the people of God worshiping together and sharing together and there's order and all this going place, that wouldn't people come in and say, wow, God is in this place. You recognize that this church is here for a reason because God has allowed it to come into being, and he wants it to continue to be here because there's work that needs to be done here in this place. There are people that need to come in, and when they walk into these doors and come in, and whether no matter what part of the ministry that they're involved in, that they say, wow, these people love God, and they extend grace, abundant grace. And maybe they will recognize that they are in need of that. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing. And just singing this song that reminds us, again, just that great hymn, but recognizing the fact that it's an amazing grace. But because of that amazing grace, we've been set free. This is the story that we have to tell. This is the graceful lives that we are to have. We are to sing and be people who are full of grace. Let me pray as they get ready. Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have to be here this morning and to be reminded again of your great love for us. We are undeserving people. And yet you've given us grace even though we're undeserving. And you haven't given us just a little bit of grace. You've given us an abundant amount of grace. You have lavished your grace on us. It's overflowing. And so may our lives, in light of what we have received, may the love and the grace that we have received, may it just bubble out of our lives and overflow into the people that we come in contact with. Because our chains are gone. We've been set free. Our God and Savior has rescued us. And so it's an amazing grace that we can sing about. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.